The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Listening to us also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching on the PCTV Select app, downloadable for free. And also on Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Thursday, April 2nd. Glad to have you along for the ride this morning on Morning Drive. Got a little bit of a wet and damp day out there, kind of a cold morning, looking at about 37 degrees right now at airtime. And not going to get that much better today, it sounds like, but we'll get through. We're going to have a little bit more of a roller coaster ride of temperatures from the 30s to 60s. It sounds like freezing rain to sun. I mean, you name it, you get a little bit of everything here. Here into early next week, we're also going to have kind of cooler than normal temperatures for this early part of April, but we'll see how that works out. Looking forward to the show this morning. We have Commissioner Ricardo Morales. He's on the program for the entire hour this morning. He is the Commissioner of Public Works here in the city of Pittsfield. Lots to talk about with Commissioner Morales. Obviously, all the road issues as we come into the spring season, the construction season, if you will. Also, some stuff going on with water treatment plants and a couple of bridges and causeways, you know, the stuff. We'll be talking about that with Commissioner Morales in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast here and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, a chance of freezing rain. Rain this morning, then a chance of rain showers this afternoon. Much cooler. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation near 100%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain showers and freezing rain after midnight. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 40%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon. Much warmer with highs in the mid-60s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I heard a funny joke the other day, especially around this time of the year. Whatever jacket you pick out in the morning to head out for the day, you're wrong.
Not only you're wrong, you're going to leave that when you come back home, because yeah, you're probably taking it off sometime during the day.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll forget it wherever you're going.
Yeah.
So here we are. Good morning, Commissioner Morales. Thanks for being here this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me here. There's a lot to talk about, and it spans all from bridges, potholes. It's if you didn't realize this already, it's pothole season.
Yes.
Even though the plants in Pittsfield and Lennoxdale do not apparently know that it is pothole season, because they're not open yet.
And what makes them not open earlier? That would be another question.
It's all weather related and business related.
Yeah.
You know, even the plant that just opened, West Sand Lake, it's about 40 minutes from here. It takes us, going there and back about 2 hours for us. It's comparable to cooking ourselves, cooking our own stuff.
Yeah.
Still, it's a better product than what we can cook out. But so it's good when they're open, we can go. But the last 2 days they've been closed, just weather related. It's just not the prime time for that. even though they did open for the first 2 days of the week.
And the big difference, of course, between the material that you could use, let's say, at the shoulder season of winter, as those potholes just start to open up and, you know, there's still some snow and ice on the roads.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you got this gaping hole somewhere and you got to somehow fill it. You're filling it with something called cold patch, but it's a different kind of stuff, right, than the stuff that you get at the hot mix plants.
Yeah, it's different emulsions in the asphalt material. So it works in cold temperatures, mm-hmm. so we can actually install that, use that throughout the entire winter.
Yeah,
we don't need to remove water out of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts less than a hot patch. Let's say.
Yeah.
It's still comparable and durable as some material we can reclaim, mm-hmm. and recycle in our yard.
Yeah. And you have a special box
using our baguela, we can cook our own material and then use our, we call them the hot boxes, mm. to transport that, mm-hmm. and maintain it, you know, usable,
yep.
during transport up to the area we're installing. So
that's a little better, but still not as good as the stuff that comes out of the plants when they're
correct.
Open.
Yeah. Correct.
And so that's just sort of starting now. There was probably a few days there a couple weeks ago where it seemed like there were potholes everywhere. And of course, that was all over social media, and especially Hubbard Avenue train overpass.
Yeah.
That one seemed to be particularly problematic. And it looks like there's more to the story there than just a couple of potholes, right?
Yeah, we need to repair the catch basin system there. There's two, mm-hmm. catch basins. They exit, the outfalls are nearby. We're planning on doing some work there this construction season. It will impact traffic, incredibly. We're going to have to close that for a day or a couple days.
Yeah, and that's a pinch point, right? Because surprisingly, definitely. That is a busy little road, and it's a very narrow pass under that railroad.
Yeah, I don't know, going back decades, a century, there's a few underpasses. There's a few underpasses in Pittsfield. You have 2nd Street, mm-hmm. you have 4th Street, or 2nd Street is not an over, it's just the bridge. 4th Street, mm-hmm. underpass, you have Jason, you have Fort Hill.
Right, yeah.
They're all wide, they're all, level.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Hubbard Ave never got that treatment.
Right.
And doing that now is very different than doing that 50 years ago.
I can imagine.
And
dealing with the railroads also is a very hard thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's much more complicated. It is not impossible,
mm-hmm.
but it is owned by the rail company, mm. and they need to be the ones that bear the cost of widening that.
Mm.
Good luck getting that right.
Well, and also I think that road at one point historically was sort of a small side road in a way, right?
Must be,
Before the Berkshire Crossing was built and BJ's and everything else there, when they put that brand new bridge in right across from City Tire, that turned that whole area into a much more heavily trafficked area,
right.
which may or may not impact a little bit further up the road at that juncture, but obviously it does, because there are lots of,
definitely.
And you've got Downing Industrial Park right there also with trucks coming in and out, right? So it's pretty highly trafficked area.
Right. And so what we're looking to do at this point is upgrade the stormwater catch basin system and then resurface it just in that section.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're going to survive, essentially. We're going to patch that as best we can every time we need to. We thought about putting some plates, but that's going to impact the height of the space that you have to go under. So we cannot do that. That's out of the equation.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at right now. We're working on some details to repair that more permanently.
Yeah, well, that'll be welcome, I'm sure, for a lot of people that do use that. If you haven't seen already, it does get slow through that area. And everybody, I think, just has to slow down just a little bit and let people pass. A lot of times, if there's a big truck coming, everybody kind of knows you have right. to go off to one side, let the truck through, you know. It's just going to be, and certainly you want to go slow through right. some of that area. Other roads of interest right now, there's a big project really kind of ramping up more. It's already been under activity, but the East Street section between Merrill Road and Lyman Street, and that is a state and city project that's starting to get
yeah,
going?
Yeah, so it is fully, it is city-owned, mm-hmm. but it is a full state project. Mm. They're working there. It's still going to be another 2 years for that to be fully done. Mm. This year, we're going to do some milling and resurfacing or overlay, working with the state to get that done, because it's just been prolonged so long that the condition of the road, at one point, we were thinking about resurfacing that. We saw the project come in. We talked early scheduling. The schedule looked like, you know, 2026, 2027 mm-hmm. would have the new surface on. That's not the case anymore with all of the actual conditions and the work that Maximilian, the contractor, has to do there. It's just, you know, we need to do something temporary, and that's what we're working on with the state right now.
So drivers will get a little relief on that section of the road with a quick resurface
right.
While construction continues. And what are some of the things that have to be done? Obviously, if someone's been driving through there already, you see that the utility poles are starting to move a little bit further out, right, in preparation for right. some of that work. And is there more underground work to come as well?
All of the stormwater, all of the utilities, gas, electric, that is being worked now. Water and sewer is being worked as well. There's some abandonment of old infrastructure, mm-hmm. some new infrastructure going in. Mm-hmm. All of the soil remediation has to be handled for any contaminants. And after that is done, then you have the layout of the new right-of-way. There have been some takings, some easements, mm-hmm. Some dealings with GE and other property owners, this is, it's going to transform that section. Our project comes in after this. We are scheduled in the transportation improvement plan for 20 to start bidding in 2028. Hmm. And that's going to take the next phase of East Street, which will be from Lineman to just before or including the intersection of Appleton.
All the way up to Appleton.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to be dealing with two very critical intersections. Mm-hmm. That's going to be Fan and East. That's going to get its own treatment. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some public input and information sessions coming along. But that intersection at this point, we are considering a roundabout there.
Mm. And that's a tricky intersection. That I think of that one as almost as problematic as the one over on Woodlawn and Tyler Street was, where yeah. you've got cars coming down, I guess, in an easterly fashion from Fenn Street. People who drive there and most of the time will avoid that. But, you right. know, if people don't know, they continue down and then they try to take that left onto East Street and they're not getting anywhere at certain right. times of the day. Right.
So we're working with the property owners. There's a few dealerships there. There's mm-hmm. the lock shop. So we're working with them to minimize the property impacts and fit the roundabout the way it should fit. Mm-hmm. If all goes well, that's the plan at this point. It is definitely a troublesome intersection. We have, you know, multiple crashes there every year.
Yeah.
And reducing that property and potential life loss is important to yeah. us.
It's really bad sight lines too, in addition to just yeah. trying to get out, you know, against the grain, if you will, trying right. to make that left is just impossible. Right. And it puts people in danger, right? No doubt about it. And has for
absolutely.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see some improvement for East Street. That the project you were just talking about is a little further down the road. Will the part of East Street that we were talking about before in front of the William Stanley Business Park in that area, will that be largely complete when the other part of the project starts?
That's the goal, yeah. yeah. It's to start the next one as the one being built now is being complete.
Yep. Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning, Commissioner of Public Works here in the city of Pittsfield. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and we're talking roads and potholes and road projects. One of the things that came up recently at a city council meeting was underground work and about repairing roads after underground work has been done, and what kind of notice and permitting and things like that are taken. What's the story going on with that? Is there one particular vendor contractor that is a problem? Is it all contractors that need to be sort of, you know, reminded that the streets need to be functional when they're either when they're working on them or when they've finished them, and you know that the work has to be done in a certain quality level? What's the story?
Yeah, there? I want to start by saying that our infrastructure, like many other municipalities or towns and cities in New England, is old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about water and sewer. I'm talking about gas, mm-hmm. electric. I'm talking about cable. At this point, we're talking about that being old, right?
Yeah, right.
It is aging. Mm-hmm. We are seeing a massive surge of projects to upgrade and maintain safe conditions, mm-hmm. operating conditions for all of this.
So some of these lines, for example, the gas lines, some of those were put in what, the early 20th century?
Some of these are, so they're very old. Mm-hmm. I don't have the dates, mm-hmm. but we're looking at past their lifespan. Mm-hmm. We're looking at new technology. We're looking at new materials. The gas company has to, by law, meet certain standards, and they need to upgrade their systems to different pressures, mm-hmm. to better materials. There were a series of guidelines after and changes to the law after some tragic, you know, explosions.
Yeah, wasn't that
about
Lawrence or
10
something?
Years or less than that, like 8 years ago.
Yeah. That was horrific.
Merrimack Valley area. Mm-hmm. So based on that, they had a resurgence of work, increased amount of work. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that. We are still seeing that. And I'm happy for it,
yep.
right? As a public official, I am excited that we are seeing this level of activity, because the alternative is we continue to age in our infrastructure, mm-hmm. and then something, looming in the horizon that could be tragic.
Yeah.
Is potential,
right.
You know, right? We're eliminating that level of thing. We're eliminating that from happening, mm-hmm. by improving our infrastructure.
Yeah, and it's a big job.
That's the first,
and certainly you have to dig up the roads to get to the underground infrastructure.
Right.
There's no getting around that. And sometimes it sounds like you can do it on the right schedule. So if the road needs to be repaired anyway, you get in, you do the underground stuff, right?
Right.
And then you do the road over, so it's
so we
smoother.
What happens is we have a level of coordination that is not really seen by the public, mm-hmm. between the city and Berkshire Gas, between the city and other utilities, mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But the more impactful that we're seeing now is Berkshire Gas, and that's happening. We try to coordinate as best we can. I'm going to take one example, Holmes Road.
Mm-hmm.
The level of coordination ended up with us, you know, getting to a certain level of pavement with their work underground being relegated to a section that we were not going to pave. Hmm. That's all well and done until they get to the edge of their work and they confirm that the level of repairs they need to do has to extend.
Hmm.
We are not going to stop them.
So once they got in there, they realized that they couldn't stop because there are more problems further on the line. They had
yes.
to continue.
So what we do is, all right, you have to continue. We're not going to stop you because this is much needed, mm-hmm. repairs, and you're willing to invest this in our city. Right?
And that was fairly late in the construction season last year,
correct.
As well.
And so what we do is, all right, what's the alternative? You still need to do that. What they did was abandon in place and install at the edge instead, mm-hmm. of where it was. And that let them have spot holes,
mm.
instead of a trench,
okay.
on the middle of the road. That's, mm-hmm. where they would have to make a trench to eliminate and replace. Hmm. So they abandon and install a new one on the edge. And that's the level of coordination that people do not see. So instead of having a whole trench like they did on the first section of Holmes Road, they're doing that on the edge. Those holes in the middle of the road are to hook up to the new line from the different laterals, right? So
where do the complaints come in then? The people are not satisfied with the level of repair of the road itself once that work has been done?
There's two layers to this. Mm. There's the permanent complaints when something is fully done that the work was not done properly, the backfilling and the patching. We can definitely deal with that in the way we have always done. We go back to the contractor, we tell them you have to redo this, and they, you know, usually comply and all that. The other layer is temporary patching. That is where we're seeing most of the issues. Mm-hmm. The contractor is still not done with the Holmes Road, sticking with this example. They're still not done with the Holmes Road work.
They can't put the permanent fix in because they have to go back and do more work there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So they need to get back to it. They're going to be patching permanently. And that is when, you know, when they turn over the product, so to speak, to the city. This is our final product. Before that, we can tell them, you have to repair this. It didn't, you know, it gave in. We know it's temporary. Go back and repair it so that it's passable. You know, do better, but you're still in a temporary condition. So that's the gray area where we have to work with the contractor. Some contractors are much better to work with than others. I'm happy, you know, dealing with the contractor that Berkshire Gas has selected. So we continue working. We have a good relationship with them. Just last night, we called for some repairs that were done that were not to our satisfaction. Temporary, again, temporary in nature.
Yep.
And they are right on it. Not all contractors are like that.
Yeah. How important is it for getting the public's input on this? If you know, someone's driving by and gets it every day, and they're like, "Okay, I'm gonna call Public Works because this is just not satisfactory." Are you listening to that level of feedback? Is that something that you'll then turn around to contractors and say, "Okay, you know, we're getting a lot of complaints here. You got to take care of this."
Yeah, we absolutely do that. In fact, the one I was talking from end of the day, end of the work day yesterday, was from complaints that we got.
And
we turned it over to the contractor, and they're on it.
What about the smaller contractors? I'm thinking things where the sewer companies have to go in. You know, house has got an emergency. Hey, if you've never had that, good for you. But it's the worst thing in the world if your toilet's not flushing, or if you're getting some backup in your basement or something like that, and you've got an emergency, and somebody's got to be out on the road digging, getting to that sewer connection. Maybe it's, you know, what do they call it? Yellow or Orangeburg or whatever that stuff that they used back in the 40s and 50s that collapsed on everybody. And, you know, it just has to get done. And then, you know, days later, they've got a quick little patch of some kind of asphalt or something. And then everyone riding by on that is going to go clunk, 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 clunk all the way down the road. That seems like it's an inconsistent application of the how do you go after stuff
we
like
have,
that?
So on that level, we have two problems. The first one is some of the contractors not pulling permits at all.
Which would think that would be a pretty major problem.
So we are actively pursuing action against those contractors at this point. And then the second layer is the work that they do, the quality of the work. And we are also looking for, you know, acting on that. At this point, we have 8 months or so for our new quality quality control
guidelines of some kind, or
our quality control manager from our traffic division. He's been in the role for now about 8 months, and, you know, six of those were winter, so it was not that much quality control in the sense that we're talking about. So he's out there now pursuing our make sure that contractors are following our quality guidelines.
Is there a particular way that these repairs have to get done when the road gets dug up down to 4 or 5 feet down to get to the sewer line?
Yes.
There's a certain level of, you know, you have to put certain kind of material down or concrete or anything to keep it up and you know, do they have to follow those things?
Yeah, we have standards. Mm-hmm. They are given with every permit. Contractors are well aware of these standards. Unless you're a new contractor, we communicate that with the contractors, and they have to follow those guidelines. That's what we inspect for. Besides the connections, besides the different other utility type of inspections.
So there's inspections all the way along, like when they're tapping into or replacing pipes that are going into the sewer lines, the city needs
as
to see
as
that
know
that's
about
done
it.
Right. And that's where the permits come in, right?
Yeah, and if you don't pull a permit, we don't know about it unless we happen to drive by it. And that happens quite often. Yeah. We happen to drive by. So we are pursuing, you know, some action against the folks that are not taking permits.
Yeah. And I know there was some talk at the city council level about, you know, the fees and the fines for not pulling a permit probably are a bit low at this point, need to be brought up. And again, that's a city council decision, an ordinance decision. But it sounds like that may need to be revisited so that folks won't, you know, take a chance and not pull a permit and just go and do the work.
Right. No, we should be at a point where that is an egregious act against the city if you don't pull a permit. So we're moving to change that.
Yeah. Ricardo Morales, my guest here this morning. If you're just tuning in on Morning Drive, this is 89.7 WTBR FM. And he is the Commissioner of Public Works and Utilities here in the city of Pittsfield. More road stuff. We got a couple of minutes before our top of the hour break. West and West Street, the big project going on. So many different projects, really. And it's a big city. Let's face a big, you know, in terms of the land size.
Definitely.
So a lot of things going on simultaneously. A lot of balls in the air here. West and West is just getting their the light stanchion poles for the traffic signal installed. They're not turned on just yet, right?
Right. Those will see. You'll see lights there turned on in another month, a month and a half. The infrastructure is going up. We're doing changes to the sidewalks, the bicycle paths, the curbing, the catch basins. That's wrapping up. Mm-hmm. And then the road work starts, the actual pavement. And then we wrap up with some markings and landscaping. So that's coming along. That's going to be done this summer. And we'll have a new, you know, segment of our streets, much safer than what we had before. We will have, some raised crosswalks. We'll have some flashing, pedestrian crossing signs. These are the rapid flashing beacons, RRFBs, and that's going to make it, you know, so every crossing will have these, and it's going to be important for folks to use to make sure that you're visible when you're crossing.
What are some of the other changes to the road and the sort of the travel lanes itself? Are they narrowing from what they were before? Is the direction changing? I mean, aside from the fact that there's going to be a traffic light there now, which will bring, I think, some order to that intersection. It's a little bit of a Wild West over there. No pun intended, Wild West. But, you know, knowing that you're going to be turning left and you usually stop, but do you have the right of way? Do you not have the right of way? You have to look over here. The sight lines over here are bad.
All going to be settled by the traffic signals tonight.
And
there's going to be some shifting of the center line of the road. There's going to be some narrowing of the lanes. There have been already some narrower curbing radii from the side streets. So all of those treatments are going to make that section a lot safer.
There's a section up a little bit further west of there near, I believe, St. Mark's Church, where the bump outs for the sidewalks seem very, very narrow to me, just driving through there. Mm-hmm. I assume that's intentional. Will that make more sense when the lines are painted? Are cars and trucks able to get through there without you know, hitting or going up on those?
Well, it's not being narrowed any more than it is now. Okay. So traffic is flowing perfectly now. Mm-hmm. The center line is a little off. Mm-hmm. It has to be readjusted. So if you think, you know, you're going out of one of those side streets and you're crossing the center line, that's not going to be where it is now.
Okay.
So it's not aligned. And then the second thing is that's the first, that's going to be the first raised crosswalk as you come in.
Mm-hmm.
Eastbound down from, say, Valentine Road area.
Mm-hmm. Which you're coming down a hill, so maybe your car speeding up a little bit.
Yeah, so that's signaling. That's their first infrastructure signaling to you as a driver. Slow down. You're entering an environment that you need to be slow. There's a lot of people crossing the street here.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down.
Yeah,
that's what that is intended for. The road narrows. You're feeling tighter. You're going to feel you're going fast, even if you're not going that fast to begin with.
Mm.
You're going to feel that, and it's going to send the signal to your slow thinking, it's going to send a signal to your fast thinking side of your brain to slow down.
Well, and we need those signals, right? And that's usually when you hit one of the speed bumps on Oak Hill, that will be your first signal that you might want to slow down for the next 10.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ricardo Morales, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We're going to take that top of the hour break now. We've got lots more to talk about in the second half. So many things going on, and I don't even know if we'll get to all of them, but we'll do the best we can right after this. So stick around. Morning Drive will return in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Ready to roll up your sleeves and make a real difference? Join us at Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity and help build affordable homes right here in our community. Whether you're a seasoned builder or just eager to learn, you'll grow your skills while giving families a foundation for the future. Come build with us. Contact Mike Arnold at 413-741-0233 or email him at planner@berkshirehabitat.org today.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at BerkshireCC and from the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington. Presenting 90s rock band Better Than Ezra this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. with opening act 9 days. Get your tickets at mahawi.org. Again, that's mahawi.org.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR, Lee Lennox and Stockbridge, and on the PCTV Select app and on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 on your cable dial. Do we still have a dial on cable? I don't know. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on Thursday, April 2nd. Commissioner Ricardo Morales, my guest here this morning, Commissioner of Public Works and Utilities. And more on that coming up in just a moment. But first, one more. Listen to the National Weather Service forecast for us for the next 36 hours or so. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, a chance of freezing rain. Rain this morning, then a chance of rain showers this afternoon. Much cooler. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation near 100%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain showers and freezing rain after midnight. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 40%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon. Much warmer with highs in the mid-60s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
You know, it's a complicated forecast when we run out of weather music and robot is still talking.
It's a long forecast. When they talk about, you know, chance of precipitation is near 100%. Yeah. And it's actually raining. It's definitely 100%.
That's about as accurate as you're going to get there. Yeah. Look out the window. It's raining.
Yeah.
All right. Commissioner Morales, thanks again for being here today talking about public works, utilities, roads, bridges, water, all kinds of stuff. Got something coming up, though, we want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm gonna read this. It's going to be posted. We're going to be announcing the an open house. We have a project input session. I'm going to read straight from it.
Sure.
I think it's perfect for radio. We want to hear from you. Come share your experience getting around Pittsfield. Join us at the first project open house to learn more about Pittsfield's safety action plan, safety in the heart of the Berkshires. So this is at Hot Plate. It's going to be April 15 from 5 to 7 p.m. It is the SS4A program that we got funded a couple years ago, and it was held with all the federal government holding monies back. And finally we got the contracts, and now we are ready to we have been working with the action groups, and now we're opening to the public for our first drafts of the programs, the safety action plan. This SS4A grant is going to give us three things. The first one is the safety action plan. The second one is a toolkit that we will be presenting as our standards. Speaking of standards for repairs on the road, this is a standard toolkit that would be applicable to our streets in the event we want to make them safer, right? What is applicable depending on what street you're looking at, the makeup of the street, the volume, the traffic volume, the density and all of those, all of those things, the crashes that are historically there. And then the third thing is a pilot installation. We're going to be doing some pilot installation. There's money for that. And all of that will be discussed at the open house on April 15, 5 p.m. at Hot Plate. I want to see you there.
So that's April 15th. So file your taxes earlier in the day, and then join the folks over at Hot Plate Brewing there on North Street for this discussion. So what will the ultimate result of this be? This is funding coming in, allowing you to sort of map out, plan out what a safe street looks like and should be built as, certain standards that come to pass?
Yeah, those are great questions. Mm-hmm. Right now, we can follow standards that are made available by the federal government, the state, and the state government national agencies. They have standards that we follow. This is bringing the standards to how they can apply to Pittsfield specifically. What we are working with emergency services, what works for you, what works for the streets that we're dealing with, and then creating this sense of, hey, as a neighborhood, as a street, you can come up with what you'd like to see, bring that to the city, propose something based on those standards in the toolkit, and then we can plan for funding, plan for action. The idea is to have it be something that's adopted by the city formally, by the city council, by the administration as a standard. And then behind all of that is the safety action plan. It is essentially the document that says this is where we need to do work. This is what the issues are on the street that are impacting the safety of our users, safety of motorists, safety of walkers, pedestrians, you know, bicyclists, scooter riders, everyone that uses our right of way. This is where the issues are. These are the fixes that we should focus on.
And the pilot program, that third part of it, that might allow you to build out one particular street in a model way to show that that could potentially, you know, be a model in for other streets?
In a temporary way,
Temporary way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so it's meant to be, it's small monies, it's meant to be quick build to demonstrate one of the toolkits, one of the tools in the kit.
Great. All right, and if you want more information about that, you can go to the city's website. I believe that information is there, right? What's the address for that?
Yeah, so we have a project webpage, and that is okay. You caught me there.
Sorry. Well, definitely,
it's just a link. So I might have that in.
At least go to pittsfieldma.gov, right? That's our.
Yeah, you can navigate our website and get there. Here's the project website. It's a long one, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, don't worry about that. We'll post all of this information and links and all of the, you know, through our public facing City of Pittsfield website in the how do I learn about, it'll be there.
Great. So look for that on April 15th, and let's move along to water treatment. Again, another issue that was recently at City Council for a major project to deal with the aging infrastructure at the water treatment plants. So we have two of those plants, one at each of the reservoirs that feed Pittsfield and what are the other towns?
Yeah, we feed
with water.
We feed Hinsdale, Dalton, obviously Pittsfield. We feed parts of Lanesboro, parts of Lenox. We have two plants. One is related to one massive reservoir, the Cleveland Reservoir. The other plant is collecting four smaller reservoirs, the biggest of which is Farnham, with the big spillway. Some people from the area are very familiar with, and, you know, taking some hikes and visiting that.
Yeah, but a lot of people listening probably have never seen these places either.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
They turn on the tap or turn on the water, expect it to be perfectly potable and clean, and don't really know where the water comes from.
Yeah, two of the reservoirs are visible from the street. You might be passing around and see some of the signs that say Pittsfield property, no trespassing. Those are the two visible reservoirs. The other three are hidden in the woods, and you can only access them by hiking or using some all-terrain vehicles through mud and ruts. And
so why we need to reinvest now into those aging plants? That they continue to work, but they're using 1970s, 1980s technology to basically filter and clean the water before it heads down the pipe and down the hill?
Yeah. So the equipment and infrastructure we have at the treatment side of things is definitely aging. It's outside of its useful life. It's, you know, 40 years now. And we unfortunately have not kept up over those 40 years with upgrading little by little, which is leading to some last minute, let's call it, upgrades now, and which we have spent some money on in the last 5 years. We started with some piloting of the new technology that could be available to make sure and prove to the regulators that we can actually install that and treat the water the same way we are treating now.
Probably includes some innovative fixes too, right? Because the you can't go to Walmart for the parts.
No. That's funny you say that because...
Or maybe you can, I don't know.
One of the things our operators, they're phenomenal in doing the work they do. Not only they are very intelligent and in making sure they understand all the intricacies of cleaning our water and making sure every single day we have clean water in our tap, but they also have to come up with innovative ways to do that outside of the normal operating conditions. Mm-hmm. Because of our aging infrastructure. One of them, you know, recently we had to replace some parts, and these are not parts that are dealing specifically with the treatment, but rather dealing with the instrumentation and controls. And the parts are so old that you had to pay, over $500 for a knob. And or something like that, $700 for one single knob, and it, you know, you couldn't replace just the knob. You mm-hmm. have to buy the whole thing. That's why it was so costly. They decided we're going to print the knob, so they spent $300 on a printer,
a 3D printer,
yeah. And they printed the knob.
Wow,
you know, the that's the kind of thing that pushes us forward and maintains the working parts of our plants in motion. It's thinking outside the box. It's thinking, how can we get this to run despite our challenges? And we have some great staff doing that work. And that is not to say that there's a limit.
Yeah.
So that limit, we're facing it very fast, very quick. You know, we're reaching that, and we need to act. And that's what we presented to the city council, the first phase. It's $15 million. We are including in that phase some immediate repairs. Mm-hmm. We're including some infrastructure or structural repairs, the roof and the walls of one of the plants. We already took care of the Ashley treatment plant mm-hmm. roof and walls. So part of this money would go to the Cleveland roof and walls. And then...
And how old are some of those buildings that are up there?
1980s.
80s, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, essentially, they were built as shells mm-hmm. to cover, you know, and from the weather, and the interior tanks. At Ashley, we have two of them. At Cleveland, we have four. These are filter tanks. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to explain on the radio. It's much better to see a picture, but essentially it's half the size. The same thing, just half the size. Cleveland is four. Mm. Ashley is two filter units, and the water goes in. It's using a mix of sand filters and meshes and chemicals to treat the water. And it comes out, and then it's chlorinated or treated for disinfectant mm-hmm. For disinfection before it reaches the city.
And so this is a three-phase project. Phase one, as you mentioned, the city council did approve, and that will be a bonded project. So there will be some impact, I assume, to ratepayers. This will all go specifically to the sewer and water rates that people pay.
Yeah. So. This being a water project, it is specifically on the water rates. Mm-hmm. The water and sewer rate are separate. They're separate enterprises.
Mm-hmm. People typically pay one bill.
One
for
bill.
Both.
Mm-hmm. It's technically two. You know, a combined rate.
Okay.
But it's technically two different rates. Mm-hmm. What this is going to be, how this is going to be impacting is, it's obvious that there will be some level of impact to our rates. What we have done, though, in the past 3 years is establish a system where we can anticipate for this type of work mm-hmm. and not take anyone by surprise. So we have been building up for this. We have a level of retained earnings in the water enterprise that can support this work mm-hmm. and any other things that can come in. At the same time, we're not putting down some, 50% increases. Mm-hmm. Rather, we're doing some smaller increments on an annual base to be able to sustain the debt service for mm-hmm. this project. So we have the combination of the consumer price index as a factor for adjusting prices, and that turns into what we can expect for operating costs.
So there'll be some hit to people's bills, but it won't be the huge increase that maybe you would have seen had you not had that increase sort of planned into the bills.
Correct.
Yeah. And then phases two and three, what are you looking for, and what sort of time horizon will those hit?
Yeah, so this is going to be about an eight-year project total. Mm-hmm. So phase two is looking at the clear wells and tanks and some land acquisition as well. And this is going to be crucial to unlock what we have to do on phase three. Mm. We cannot do phase three unless we have these tanks for making sure that we have treated water ready to go out when we have to shut down the process.
So basically, it's a bypass. It's a way to...
It's in a sense, it's a bypass, yeah. We will have some bypasses on phase two, mm-hmm. different than the tanks for the Ashley connecting to Cleveland.
It's like the Pittsfield Strategic Water Reserve.
Yeah. So we don't have that now.
Yeah.
Something happens at the plant, at either of the mm-hmm. plants, and these are not plants that are feeding both at the same time the entire city. These are plants that... Each feed sections, there's some combined feed, mm-hmm. but each of them feeds sections that are uniquely fed by them.
So if one or the other were to go down,
parts of the city without water.
Yeah.
Correct. And we're fortunate enough that we have not gotten to that level, but we've been very close, and people do not, you know, see that. It's not something we have to advertise, right? Sure. But
good to have a backup plan.
Absolutely. Though. And having tanks like that at the treatment plant is the first level that we, you know, the regulators have been looking for this. We have been looking for this. Our operators would love to have something mm-hmm. that can give them the sense of, you know, lessen the sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. As soon as something goes bad,
yeah.
we have to essentially drop everything and repair stuff in minutes.
And then is phase three the replacement of the older
filtration
water
units?
Filtration, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the big chunk of everything.
Yeah. I missed one thing on phase two.
Yeah.
We did already at Ashley with ARPA funds, we upgraded and added the chemical systems.
Mm-hmm.
We added a smaller building next to the plant that will houses the chemical tanks mm-hmm. and systems to feed the system, the treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It's larger, not double per se, but it is larger mm-hmm. in footprint. And that is going to be done on phase two.
Okay.
Once that is done, the tanks, the chemical building at Cleveland, then we can go to phase three, replacement mm-hmm. of the six units.
Yep. And I think as we've talked about on this show over and over, and nothing's a sprint, it's all a marathon. It's a long, long range project. You've mentioned 8 years before this is all wrapped up. And it reminds me of some of the bridge projects we've talked about and things where you have to go into planning. And then you really have to have that long range horizon to keep that in mind, to know that it's it can't be fixed overnight.
Right. Yeah. And I'll say now we are coming up another public forum we're planning mm-hmm. is related to our integrated water resource management plan. It's shortened by, you know, IWRMP. So I'll use that from now on. The IWRMP is going to be instrumental for us to that plan is going to allow us to make sure that we're looking at every part of our utilities and infrastructure on the utility side, stormwater, mm-hmm. water, and sewer.
Kind of a holistic approach.
Yes, and make sure that we have the proper planning for capital improvements. We have the proper funding behind it to back it, and we have the a good system to support that funding. So that means on the water and sewer side, that means how are we calculating rates? How mm-hmm. are we metering the entire city, moving away from scheduled services? And then on the stormwater side, we're looking at options. Do we need to start looking for funding, specific funding without borrowing? instead of borrowing, having some sort of a fee for individual properties that disproportionately impact our stormwater system. And I'm looking at, you know, large sites that are, you know, that include large impervious area.
A big runoff. Where is it going to
exactly.
go? So how's it managed?
So we're looking, this is a study phase at this point. We're going to be presenting this to the public. We did one small presentation in the fall. This is our second one. It's coming up sometime in May.
Okay. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah.
And feel free. We'll have you back on and we can talk more about that when it comes up. Listening to Morning Drive here, by the way, and our my guest this morning, Ricardo Morales, the Commissioner of Public Works and Utilities here in the city of Pittsfield. A few minutes left of the show, been very informational so far, just a lot of stuff going on, stuff that people don't think about on a regular basis, especially when you turn on your tap, you don't think about all the things that it takes to deliver that clean water to your house. But hopefully you get a little bit of insight from the commissioner here this morning. Couple of quick hits here. Dan Casey Causeway has been an issue going forward. It has been closed, open, closed. It gets flooded whenever we get to heavy rains or releases or anything like that. What's the story? It's been a long tail story.
Yeah, we just got some. We got done with redesigning the foundation, deep foundations the state is looking for a longer, more sustainable bridge in this case, essentially.
So right now you wouldn't consider it a bridge, right?
It's really a series of a couple of culverts, and now we're, you know, transitioning. It's, you know, you could make the argument it's still culverts, but it's just massive at this point if it's still a culvert. And we're looking at a multi-million dollar estimate for the project. Mm-hmm. We have been communicating with the state and federal officials at this point for funding. And, you know, we need to finish wrapping up the design, the last bits of the design, and go full throttle on finding money to do this.
So it's still going to be multiple years in the future, though, that we're dealing with it, right? Because the state is kind of calling the shots because it's a waterway, because it's a sensitive area. They're saying that design has to be a certain way, and the city is saying, well, that's very expensive.
So here's one on one end. It could all be, if we get funding, say, from the federal government, it could all be all of a sudden, hey, we have the money.
Yeah.
Let's go for it immediately.
In the current environment, though, that doesn't look too
That could not
too
be.
Likely. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not far from reality. We also have to deal with the project that we are about to be ready to bid on Hancock Road.
Mm-hmm.
So coordinating with that to not have both at the same time.
Right, because they both serve the same area, and you could if you had them both down at the same time, that would be very difficult for
that one. We had a
around.
Hiccup with the review process, and we had to return back to Chapter 85. We're finishing that. That's the section of Hancock Road. We have the funding for the work. It's a matter of wrapping up that Chapter 85 and then doing the work.
When do you anticipate that work might actually start?
This summer.
Oh, good. So it's on the way. There's a bridge on Holmes Road. You may remember the story.
Holmes Road.
It feels like we just got done with a Holmes Road bridge, and we've got another one that's headed south on that, just down to one lane right now.
Yeah. So Holmes Road Bridge, we have the over the Housatonic River. It's a city bridge this time. The other one over the rail, that was a state bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The city bridge has a few beams that are bad. The deck is in good condition. The rest of the structure is in good condition. So the superstructure and the beams are recently saw some impacts that made the state say you have to either close it or restrict it. We went for the restriction of the travel. And I just had the, you know, participation on the town hall meeting we had with the state. They are running through the FAIR program a design and replacement or repairs in a rapid way. That's part of the program is to do it immediately this year. So design should be done by end of spring. Their update on Monday was design will be done by end of spring and bidding starts.
So is this more of a repair or a full replacement?
Repair. So they are still considering, the design firm is still considering keeping that one way or one lane during construction. So they're not going to close it. Of course, there will be some impacts on a one day or 2 days duration when the work, you know, at the at the transition points from no work to work. There's like, just as we had to close it for a few days to move the barriers and the signaling equipment and all that.
So stay tuned for more progress on that if you're traveling that road on a regular basis. Last 10 seconds, we got Anoda and Linden Street intersection. That's going to be changed, worked on?
Yeah, we heard from the city council. We are looking at making some changes to the curbing. At the, you know.
And that's reducing. A difficult little intersection there, very tight with some buildings and turn radiuses and things like that.
Right.
So the bump outs will be modified in some way.
Yeah, the corner by the old laundromat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some modifications coming.
Yep. All right. Commissioner Morales, thanks for being here again. A lot of information, like drinking from a fire hose this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. We'll have you back very shortly, I hope. And folks, we'll be back on Morning Drive again tomorrow. This is Sean Sayre. Take care, everybody.